And our guest today is Greg Cahill of the very well-known band, very successful, outstanding band, Special Consensus. They have a brand new album that's be out in a couple weeks, The Great Blue North. They've decided to do an album, and they did it after they decided, of all Canadian influences and Canadian music and Canadian writers. Really neat concept. It's on Compass Records. We're going to start off with the first single on the album, actually the first tune on the album. It's not been released as a single, but Snowbird. You have, if you remember 1970 or so, Anne Murray, the queen of Canadian music, I think, recorded Snowbird. How, what better way to start off an album of bluegrass Canadian themed music than with Snowbird? And after that, we'll talk to Greg Cahill about Special Consensus and all the other great tunes they have on this. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a really gorgeous version of a gorgeous song that I think I first heard in 1970 from Anne Murray. You heard Snowbird, which is off the brand new album from Special Consensus. The name of the album is The Great Blue North. It's on Compass. And on the phone with me is, I would say, the leader of Special Consensus, Greg Cahill. Greg, how have you been?
Hi, Steve. Everything's good. Things are great. Kind of back out on the road now after a little hiatus there with COVID. So it's all good.
When we were talking about trying to get together to talk about this new album, which will release, I think, May 12th, so we'll be just a little bit ahead of the curve on that. You were traveling and you were going back and forth, and we talked a little bit about, am I correct that this album is maybe the first thing that's come out of the COVID period for the studio, for the band?
It is. We actually... Our last recording that was released in Compass, which was our last recording, was called Chicago Bindings, and that was released in 2020. So it was sort of right on the cusp of COVID. It came out just in time for us to not be able to tour.
I was going to say, just in time to not have an audience to sell it to.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I'm still getting so many albums from artists that were almost identical. Timing, not exactly that. But, you know, during that period, and then you can't get out and sell them, and you sell them on websites. And I know Special Consensus has a website. Probably all those things are available there, which we'll remind the listeners to. But there's a lot of things that, even though COVID has been kind of officially, you know, had the fork stuck in it for a while, it's just now that those things are coming out. Tina Adair was on, and same thing with her. She put all this stuff together, our newest album, and just now got it out. So it just happened. It happened. So the album, The Great White Blue, is, or The Great Blue North.
The Great Blue North. Yeah, that's
not bad.
That's where it came from. So you were thinking The Great White North.
The
Great Blues.
It's all, and the reason I mentioned Anne Murray on that, I don't know that I've ever heard it done by anyone but Anne Murray, and I think I was in high school, and so Snowbird, which is an indication that the rest of this album is going to feature Canadian music. You've chosen to, you're in Chicago. I know that Greg, the band is sort of focused where you are in Chicago. So you've chosen kind of a Canadian theme to all these things. And some are more traditional, and some are, you know, Bruce Coburn and Gordon Lightfoot. Everybody knows those Canadian songwriters and singers, but there was a decision made to make this an album of Canadian kind of music.
Yeah, it sort of happened because of the single we released about a year ago called Blackbird. And that was a favorite of Allison's, and we all really liked it. And she had brought it up, Allison Brown, who's our phenomenal producer.
Right,
she's so great.
Yeah.
And she brought that in, and we talked about it for the last recording. But then when we decided that the theme was going to be Chicago, and the footnote, the reason for that, is because that was our 45-year anniversary as a band, as a touring and recording band. And so many people for about 35 or 40 of those years would say, you're from Chicago. You don't know anything about bluegrass. But there was a show here Chicago.
Wait a minute. But nobody says that about Special Consensus.
Well, there's a long time ago. They did.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
They sure did.
All right.
So I just pointed out that they had the show, the National Barn Dance, the WLS Barn Dance, and the first, it's a long story, but it was,
they had all the
country artists of the day, and they had Bill and Charlie Monroe actually came up from Kentucky to Indiana and to work in the refineries and play music. And So they started on the Chicago Barnyards, or the National Barnyards, as dancers, actually, and then became the singing Rural Brothers, and then, of course, Elvis put it together, the bluegrass sound through that period in the 30s. And anyway, so we decided that we would just talk about the Chicago Barn Dance and make that an album with songs written about Chicago or by people who had lived here or people from here, whatever. Actually, we had, but the only song that wasn't from there was the title song, Chicago Barn, written by Becky Buller and Missy Raines and Allison Brown. So once we decided to do that, oh, and the announcer, by the way, on the Chicago Barn Dancer for the many of those years, they were there from 1926 until 1968 with this country show. And the announcer was George D. Hay. And when he left there, he ended up at WSM.
Yeah.
And that's when they were trying to increase their listenership, you know, and he brought to the owners the idea of, hey, we should have a show like that one in Chicago. We could call it the Nashville Barn Dance. And they were like, eh. We like the concept, but not the name. Let's call it the Grand Ole Opry, and there you go. So we said, hey, we've got some credibility.
I think so, finally.
But yeah. But anyway, so we released the song Blackbird. We recorded it coming out of COVID with our new members. Greg Blake had joined us right as COVID hit. And then he's our guitar player and
great singer.
Who sang lead on Songbird, on Snowbird there. And then Michael Pruitt joined us about a year ago, which was still in the heels of COVID. And so that was the first song, Blackbird. That was the one that Allison had, thought we should just proposed. We've got five votes when we decide on a song, and it's the four of us and Allison. And we all liked it, but then we had that Chicago theme. So we remembered it and said, well, let's just record that just to let people know here we are with the new guys. And then we'll figure out what else we'll do on the recording. And we got such great feedback on Blackbird, written by J.P. Cormier, who's a great guitar player, songwriter, singer from Canada. And then that's when we were talking about it one day in the studio, why don't we just make it a Canadian theme? Because we play a lot of festivals up there, and we have so many Canadian friends, Canadian musician friends, as well as fans and friends, and we've been going there for 40 years. So we thought, yeah, that might be a good idea, just to tip the hat to a Canadian theme. So that's something we'll come
about. It's a great choice. You mentioned the members of the band, Greg Blake. Is this the first album that Greg was vocal and guitar on?
Yep, okay. It is.
Great boy, and a great singer.
Yep. And Michael Pruitt on mandolin, and then Dan Eubanks. Thank God he's just been a real stalwart. He's just a phenomenal player and singer. And he's been in the band like 10 years now.
Oh, okay. He's a great, great singer too. I listen to these things, and then I go back and figure out who's doing what, because I don't want to be influenced. I say this all the time. It is what I do. To the listeners, I get an album like this from Compass, and it's a Special Consensus, and I wind up getting, I think, a Great Blue Nerth. That's going to be great. I listen and listen and listen before I read anything about it. I'd take it out and put it in my car. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, what a great couple of singers you got here, just part of the band. And the other one was Dan. Greg's fantastic, but Dan Eubanks
is great.
And Michael,
too.
Yeah,
and Michael. I mean, all three of them. Yeah.
Very strong, very strong.
We're very lucky.
You are. The first song we just played, Snowbird, which I thought was perfect. If you want to start with Canadian influence, you just can't get any better than that. But you have Claire Lynch, who I think married Canada. I think Claire.
Right.
I think Claire.
So all that's the thing on this recording. We tried to get as many of our Canadian musician friends involved as we could, and Claire is now officially a Canadian because she's been great friends, and she's been on a couple of our other recordings.
Oh, she's wonderful.
So we couldn't do that without asking Claire, and thank God she was very willing to do it and happy to do it. So
she's bought in. Yeah. She's bought in whole 100% into Canada. Last album she did was pretty much all Canada. It had a lot of coldness to it and a lot of Canadian themes. And I told her not long after she was married that it didn't count in America if you were married in Canada, that she might have some legal issues with that. It's not true, of course. I just told her that because I just wondered if she'd thought about it. So on the tune we played, you got of course you're on banjo, and Greg Cahill is one of the best, one of the most inventive, one of the always always excellent banjo player, someone that I go see, play, to learn from as I you know, take my slow walk through this very pedestrian avenue of trying to be a banjo player. Greg is one of those ones that I watch. So on this one, Allison Brown's on rhythm guitar. So it's just a great, and Snowbird, like I said, you can't start off more Canada than that. You've got a couple tunes by Gordon Lightfoot, easy enough to recognize as Canadian. Bruce Coburn. Right. You've got the instrumental, which I think we're going to play for him at some point, maybe at the end. You've got everybody. Alberta Bound is that's not the instrumental. The instrumental we were talking about, trying to get the name straight.
Oh yeah, that's the one we called Pretty Kate.
Pretty Kate and the Rabbit. Yeah, which parenthetically have as LaBelle Catherine and then Jack Rabbit Jump. You've got so many great people on that. You've got April Birch, and if you need to get any more Canadian than April Birch, I don't know what it would be. And I love her playing. I've talked to her several times and played much of her music, but I always want people to, when you see her perform live, you come away absolutely overwhelmingly stunned by her ability to dance and sing and play. It's just not humanly possible, but it's, I love to just have her play instrumentals, because then you realize what an incredible fiddle player she is. And from her origins up in Canada, she's got that whole, it's just an amazing player. When you see her, you can't help but be stunned by her dancing and singing and playing at the same time. It shouldn't be possible, but that's
yeah.
It.
Well, we made a video of that, the tunes, the medley, and of course she played twin fiddle with Dara Langer, and then Allison and I played the twin banjos.
Yeah,
we had a blast, but we were sitting in a circle and played. And because we wanted her to do the, where she learned to dance, you know, the fiddlers up there, the French-Canadian way is to sit and have the board under your feet and then dance while you're sitting, you're playing.
Okay.
And so we made the video just like that so people could see whether that's the tradition, actually, dancing. She's just great on your way. It's superb.
It's great lineup, the whole band. And on that one, you have so many extra people on this. I probably won't be able to name all of them. If for no other reason, on Alberta Bound, you have like 80 people that join in. It's so much fun. Well, but you know, since I mentioned that, we're going to play for the audience as we get to the end here. The Pretty Kate and the Rabbit that we were talking about was April and everybody else. But let's talk a little bit about April Bound. It's a Gordon Lightfoot tune, which I was not familiar with. I wasn't familiar with it. Maybe I just know the things that I might find on Alvite, but he has thousands of songs that have never been recorded.
And he's that's an old one. You know, us old folkies knew about that one, and actually we all really liked that song. It's a classic. You know, when you hear the melody and the singing, it's a classic Lightfoot kind of sound. And, so we thought, well, let's see. We were trying to get everybody, that we could on different verses and choruses, you know. And so, but then, we had a one verse and chorus by what we called the Jaybird Trio, because it was John, Trish Gagnon, and Patrick Sauber. And they sang the verse and the chorus. And then our great friends, Ferris and Jason Romero sang another verse and chorus. So, we just kind of mixed it up, and that's where the NAFTA choir concept came from. By the end, all of us, everybody.
I quit counting after like 30, because the NAFTA choir is everybody. You know, it's all those people, and
a couple more actually, because John Showman played on another song.
Oh, he snuck in.
And so we had him sing. Everybody sang in place, you know, from home, and we just added it all in.
Well,
it would have been really hard to get so many people together.
When you look at all the people on the, and I'm talking to Greg Cahill, and I'm having a lot of fun with this album, Great Blue North, Canadian theme, and then and Alberta Bound, everybody's in here that I guess ever walked across this particular album figuratively. And so I have to ask you this, though. First of all, for the audience listening, Ferris and Jason Romero, I'm familiar with their music. The audience has heard it before. They build banjos.
Yes. Jason is a killer banjo player as well as builder.
Very unique. So Claire's back in here and you are. So I have to ask you this, because you've actually labeled it as the NAFTA Choir, NAFTA, all caps. as this group that sings in the choir. I asked you a little bit before we got on, I didn't let you answer it, but what is NAFTA?
That's the trade organization between the United States and Canada. So
that went right over my head. I'm trying to, yeah. I kept thinking, was it an old tire company that used to advertise on TV? Or no, it's NAFTA. All right. Okay. That's
it was a little obscure. You know,
Allison's too clever for me often.
She's as clever for everybody, let me tell you.
She really is. She has a new album coming out called On Banjo, which is just another one of those masterpieces where it's everything, classical music and everything else. And so of the 10 songs we've talked about, a couple, you have a tune on here by Fred Eaglesmith. Don't you try to change my mind now. I'll tell you this. I don't know how many people in the listening audience have actually seen Fred Eaglesmith and the Flying Squirrels. I have.
yeah. And he's great. And we love his song. He writes great songs and sings. And that one, it to us sounded like it could have been, you know, like that Reno and Smiley song or something.
Yeah.
You know, from first generation era. It was just great. So we did it.
He did what he called a bluegrass album years ago, and it was called The Flatland Noodlers. And I don't know, he said it was bluegrass, actually released it as that. I'm not sure that's what he meant it to be, is some kind of bluegrass thing. But Fred Eaglesmith and the Flying Squirrels, if you ever see them live, they have a guy who it's almost like they have a character for like Harpo Marx, where he's not allowed to say anything. And he's almost, Greg, he's almost like a one-man band with all his percussion things on him and whistles. And he won't look at anybody, and every kind of drumming thing they need, I don't even know that he has a name. He just stands there and looks out, and then he plays these things. And then Fred has some pretty strange songs, always entertaining and very serious ones also. But So you've really, and Bruce Coburn, I think, you got a track or two from Bruce. I think there just can't be a better folk singer anywhere. He happens to be from Canada, but how do you choose? There's so many great songwriters and singers from Canada, but when you're finding Fred Eaglesmith, how do you find this song? Don't you try to change my mind? And what do you look for in the Bruce Coburn track?
Well, I'll tell you, sometimes we have a concept going into it, but most of the time we don't. We just say, you know, if we choose a couple songs that we really like. And if there's some sort of theme that appears, I mean, I guess all the recordings have a theme, but not as blatant as Chicago Barn Dance and as Great Blue North. You know, that's pretty clear. That's the theme.
Right.
But for this one, I mean, we just listen and listen. We're listening now. You know, we've got songs that we record every 2 years. Okay, by then. And we listen, like, for at least a year. We're just listening. We must have listened to 300, 400 songs.
I was going to say hundreds of songs. Yeah, you could choose from.
And so when we're riding around, you know, even when we fly, you have to rent a vehicle and get to the festival or wherever you're going, and we just listen and listen and then make lists, you know, and then each person can bring in a song, any song, any number of songs that they think would work with our vague theme, and then the theme becomes less vague and more defined, and we just have lists. We have a master list, you know, like single spaced. It's at least a typewritten page, you know, and then we all listen again, and then we listen together, and keep narrowing the list. There were other Canadian writers we listened to as well, and it was really hard. Well, and it's really hard, even if you just listen to Gordon Lightfoot, you know, he's got so many songs.
It would be hard
to choose 10 songs just by him, you know.
I wish I could remember why I did this. I'm talking to Greg Cahill, Special Consensus. One time, I don't know if he was coming through town, and I happened to get directed to his own website, and he has, I'm telling you, thousands of songs that he's never recorded. He must write a dozen songs a day. And I always wondered who would discover, if you go to his website, Gordon Lightfoot, you'll find his songs, and they just go page after page. Nobody's heard these things. I mean, some of them are the familiar ones, like what you've mined from his list, but he just must write songs, wake up and write songs till he goes to bed. I mean, it's incredible.
He still tours and sings.
Yes, he does. Too. Yeah, good for him. He's still able to get out and do it. We've kind of teased this then. Why don't we, you've done a nice introduction to Alberta Bound. I'd like to play that one with the NAFTA choir singing, which I get it now completely. I can't believe I couldn't catch that. I was looking for some other meaning, but let's play that Gordon Lightfoot tune, Alberta Bound. I think, Greg, you've pretty much introduced it already, so let's play that. Yeah. I'll come back and talk to you for a minute, and then we'll talk a little more about this album. So here it is for the listeners, Alberta Bound. This is a Gordon Lightfoot tune off of the new Special Consensus, Great Blue North, and please enjoy. We'll be right back. All right, that was the Alberta Bound tune that we were talking about at length with everybody in it, and it must be fun. When you're making a song like that and you decide to just keep expanding and expanding, Greg, it kind of must be fun. There has to be, by the way, good whistling at the end of it. I knew that was you whistling. So not only is he banjo, not only is he singing, he's whistling out as the song ends. So.
I had no intention of doing that, really. That was Allison's idea. She comes up with all these really cool ideas, just always something different, you know. And so we were like, who's going to do that? No, we don't know. And she had a couple of people, like one of the people on the staff came in and whistled, but it was a woman. And so, you know, just the same way that women usually have higher voices than men, the whistle is going to be higher pitched. And so to get it to work in that key, and we just, I don't know. And as we were recording other songs, you know, towards the end of the recording process, I just happened to be whistling one day. I was just goofing around. He said, oh, and I walked into the studio kind of as a joke, you know. And Allison, that's it. You're going to do it. No. I can't do that. No.
Well, how many times?
She said, that's your whistling debut. You're going to have a dual career now. It's going to be great.
That's great. So then I have to ask you this. How many times did you whistle before you got a cut? Because right at the end
I
of the
swear,
tune, did you nail it the first time?
I was probably in front of the mic for 10 minutes.
There
seriously. I just whistled it. And then it's really low for me as well. The low notes and down there. So I just went at a couple times to make sure it was getting close.
I like stuff like that myself because I listened to the last note. I listen to songs until the last note rings, until it's over. I don't cut anything short. So I got a charge out of that. We talked about the other Gordon Lightfoot song. We also have Brave Mountaineers on here, which is pretty much the band as if someone would see Special Consensus, that's pretty much, that's the band. You guys are carrying that one. It's another Gordon Lightfoot song. It's the seventh song. There's only 10 songs on here, so we don't have to talk forever, but we're going to. So the seventh one, right. Brave Mountaineers, another Gordon Lightfoot song. I guess you picked that one pretty much the same method. Had you heard it before? Or is this one you were familiar with?
You know, I think Michael kind of knew, and Greg knew more about that song than I did. Dan maybe as well. But I'd heard it before because I listened to Gordon Lightfoot back and I'm an old folky, you know, that's how I got into bluegrass. So, on our very first album, which was made in 1979, and it was just called Special Consensus Bluegrass. And, we did one of his songs. It was called That Long Thin Dawn. And so I've been listening to him, you know, for a long time. And that was, so I've heard Brave Mountaineers, but I had to remember it, you know, and really listen again to really hear it. And when I did, all of us, we agreed that that was just it would make a great bluegrass song.
It is. It's probably one of the instantly bluegrass. If you listen, you think, oh, that's a bluegrass song. If you knew nothing else, you're just looking for something that you could latch onto. It's another great mix of all these things. I have no idea. Kara Luft and Bella Hardy. I do not know them. And that's the last tune is The Time Wanderers.
Yeah, and that's kind of a newer tune. Now, that one, Allison wrote in, and we hadn't heard that before, but we instantly liked it for sure.
Okay.
You know, just thought, boy, that's just something different, and it just has such a nice feel to it. Months and years and decades, and it's like, oh, my gosh.
Time wanders on. That's it. And that's basically the band, and you have John Showman there with Allison on tenor guitar, which those are the coolest instruments. I can't play it, but I just think that's the neatest thing to add into any song. That's a great, it's a great little addition in there.
It just added something in the rhythm. It kind of glued stuff together, you know?
Yeah.
And John's a great fiddle player.
Oh, he really is. He really is. And everything about this album, I like the fact that you know, like all the time you put into picking the songs and all the effort that was put into producing these songs, they're all just a little different as far as the layers of production. Like we can go from the Alberta Bound to a more stark one, but they're all a little different. They needed that difference, and they all fit mm-hmm. together on the same album, with the theme being the Canadian connection there. I just really enjoyed it. I've been listening to it for a couple of days getting ready for this, and that's the best way for me to do it, is drive around. When you talk about driving on the road, I get a 6-CD player in my car, and I just listen and listen and listen. That's what I do as I'm driving around, so I get to hear everything without anybody interrupting me. So,
That's great. That's what I love it, too. I do that, too.
Yeah.
And we all do when we're together.
Yeah. Something else, Gene McKay. I heard that one. David Francie, I don't know, from Highway 95.
Yeah, that's an interesting song. And we just kind of stumbled on it when we were looking at the Canadian writers. And that just, it almost seemed kind of timeless, just Highway 95, just the period and the message on that as well. We just thought it was... I don't know if we could come up with a good arrangement like that. We had Rob Ikes play dobro on it and just fill it in and just made it kind of a different, hopefully sort of a more, I don't know if you call it.
Let me ask you this. We were talking about, of course, Alison Brown's producer and Compass Records. I did, Compass also includes Red House now. And for a long, long time, they picked up Green Linnet a long time ago. And I just wonder if any of these Canadian songs were accessible to her from all the music that comes through Compass. There's too much for her to listen to, but I just think of all that expanded, the labels and the music she's expanded, that Green Linnet and Red House, they're kind of out there, and they may have Canadian music on it too.
I don't know
if that helped at all, but probably did. Before we leave Greg Cahill, Greg, I always enjoy talking with you. And
I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. So we know what the album is. We know it's coming out, the Special Consensus Great Blue North. We know it'll be out sometime in early May, and we may jump the gun on that, but that's the advantage of listening to Unreal Bluegrass. You get a little sneak peek. You talked about being on the road, before you got to where we are right now, and you're going to be back on the road. Without saying it, people, there must be a website where everybody can not only find access to this record, the Great Blue North, but also find out where the heck you're going to be.
Yep, we are. That's right. We're at specialc.com. That's real easy. We didn't want to have to spell consensus. You know, so specialc.com.
You should have been bold and spelled it out, because, it might have been a social experiment, because you might have missed half of your people, but I like Special C.
It's that putting that S in the middle. A lot of folks think there's a C in the middle, which probably the Canadian spelling actually.
There's your trouble right there.
So we'll be out. We do actually have copies.
We'll
be selling at our shows.
Okay. Good.
But it'll be officially released in stores and all that.
Not in May. Well, there you go. If you're listening and you want to find out why I'm spending so much time with Greg, which I just enjoyed talking to one of my favorite, I'm a very pedestrian banjo player, Greg. I may or may not mention that to you, but
you play. You're not pedestrian. I've heard you play. I've heard you in some jam sessions at the IBMA.
Let's not gild the lily too much on that. So by the way, it's a nice cover. It's a Canadian goose with a banjo. I just on the cover of the album, but. So we've talked a little bit about this tune with the Pretty Kate and the Rabbit, which you kind of renamed. See, you didn't put Special Consensus, but you changed it from La Belle Catherine to Jack Rabbit Jump. If you'd put that in there, you might have lost the same number of people trying to spell consensus. But we talked a little bit about this tune. I want you to just do a quick introduction to that. I want to play it. It's the only instrumental on the song, on the whole album. I want you to do an introduction to this one. And I'll say goodbye to you and play that that tune for the audience, and look forward very much to seeing you around in the upcoming months.
Well, so, thanks a million. Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. I really appreciate it. Yeah. And now we're getting ready to hear La Belle Catherine and Jack Rabbit Jump, but we called Pretty Kate and the Rabbit, and we just had a great time. It's a traditional French-Canadian tune, and as is Jack Rabbit Jump. And we have the four of us. I play banjo, Michael Pruitt on mandolin, Greg Blake on guitar, Dan Eubanks on bass. And then we had the wonderful April Virch from Canada playing fiddle, there along with Daryl Anger playing fiddle. And Allison Brown is so graciously was willing to join me and play twin banjos.
Works great. It works great. Greg Cahill, that was it. So you're going to hear now for the audience. I'm going to let you go. I'll play for them right now. Pretty Kate and the Rabbit from the brand new, soon to be released, but available on tour if you find Greg, Special Consensus, brand new Great Blue North, which is on Compass, a label that I'm quite fond of. So thank you so much, Greg. Get on your way. Be careful. Have a good time traveling about, and I guarantee I'll find you somewhere on the road. And for the audience, this is the only instrumental, Pretty Kate and the Rabbit. Greg, I'll say goodbye to you and talk to you later.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Thanks. All the best.